ici avec toi. Parce que depuis toujours, chaque fois que je te voyais, je me disais que tu étais la femme que je désirais. Et vraiment que je désirais de telle façon, c'est tellement adorable. Je ne savais quoi faire.
Hello and welcome to this month's Joy Wine and Food Pairing. We are joined in studio today with Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits and David and Chef Vinny from Que Buena Suerte. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, so right now, off the beginning, this is a beautiful dish. We're looking at it. And Chef Vinny, can you tell us what your creation is?
Yeah, today we did, this is a menu. We just did a menu change a couple months ago. This is the ancho chili braised beef short ribs over a hominy, creamy hominy, actually. So we use the old Mexican cheeses. And what we do with the short ribs is we paint sear it first to seal all the flavors in it. And then we braise it for about 4 hours and ancho chili sauce. And then we top it with pickled red onions and serrano peppers. And this is our entree, one of the favorite ones.
Is this like one of your best sellers at the restaurant?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, great, because there's a lot of great flavors going on in here. And so I do have a couple questions. Like, what inspires this? Was it something that you came up with this, or is this a menu standard? Or
that's actually a creation of mine. These flavors came from South Mexico. Mostly it's where I'm from. I'm from the Yucatan Peninsula, and I have a lot of Mexico's here influence too. So these flavors, I learned how to cook since I was a little kid. I started with my mom and my family. But this is more like, we say, American and European techniques that we use in here, but just incorporating Mexican flavors into it.
So are the flavors more from the chile? Because in the Yucatan, they use a lot of different moles, right? And really unique flavors from that area. So what are you using in this dish?
Especially Oaxaca, mm-hmm. which is still part of the peninsula. Oaxaca is a town of the mole, mm-hmm. you know, the same as Puebla. So this one, if you taste the sauce on top, it's more like a mole on top. But the way we do it, this one has no nuts in it. It's just the chilies, tomatoes, onions, garlic, some Mexican spices, and thickness from the meat and the peppers.
So is shortbread, I'm sorry, short ribs, is that a typical cut for Mexican cuisine or?
Well, yeah, we use beef ribs. Mm-hmm. We don't cut them like this. Here's more like a boneless, easier to serve, to portion, and to eat. But definitely we use a lot of beef ribs.
Yeah, because when you look at this, I thought it was a short rib, and I'm thinking there must be a big bone under there because it's a nice big pile of meat. And it's really delicious, and I love the texture, how it just, you don't need a knife with it. And talk a little bit about the hominy, because I think that's something that a lot of people are afraid of and don't understand, or maybe I like it. I like the texture. And how do you know when it's cooked properly? It's kind of an enigma, I believe.
Well, how many you can get already cooked these days? Most of the times, these ones we soak in at the restaurant. Like we get them dry, we soak them for 3 days, and then we blanch them with vegetable stock mm-hmm. until they're nice and al dente, like not overcooked. But also, how many you can overcook it and you turn it into a masa. Mm. Which is what you use to make tortillas as well.
So this is it just a dried white corn?
Yeah, you can get it. You can get yellow corn. You can get in Mexico. You get like red corn, purple corn, and turn it into hominy. But in this case, we get white because well, we can get more. It's easier to get, and it's always consistency in it.
Mm-hmm. So the cheeses that you use, are those goat's milk or?
They're all cow's milk. Uh-huh. The names of the cheese are asadero cheese, cotija cheese, and we use a little bit of cream, Mexican crema. Mm-hmm. And the way that we do the sauce, we do saute some onions, some garlic, some dry oregano, and then we add the crema, then we add the cheese, let it turn the fire, take out of the fire, let it sit cheese for a while, and then just blend it all together.
Mm-hmm. And there's quite a culinary scene happening in Mexico right now. You were mentioning Mexico City, and that must have a big influence on the whole country, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Mexico City, you know, is where everybody goes. You know, everybody comes from Provence and goes. They go to Mexico City for a job, for just to live in a bigger city or just to get to know more about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people in the South, we don't move a lot. But I noticed that once they move, they don't come back either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Mexico City is huge in food. Like, you can find anything in there. Like, it's Asian. We got Asian, Chinese, Japanese, French, Italian, just like here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
but bigger.
It's a huge city. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I find it interesting because when you all sent me the recipe and said short ribs, I was thinking ribs because, you know, I always associate ribs with barbecue. I don't think of as a Mexican dish. So it shows like the expansion or the creativity of how you can just maybe be outside of the box. Or is this kind of a norm in Mexico?
Well, these type of sauces, like, it's like a home style cooking. It's more like a stew. Mm. It's just like I said earlier, we just use the techniques that I learned here. And by using the boneless beef short ribs, it's easier to portion them. It's easier to eat them.
So do you cut off the fat? Because a lot of times when I'm at home and I'm cooking a short rib, I thought you need the fat to keep it tender. But also, sometimes then it can be a little bit greasy. So are you taking that off before you even cook it?
Well, depends what kind of meat you buy. If this is a Black Angus from Aspen Ridge Ranch, mm-hmm. so it's one of the best meats you can find here. I don't think you can find this in just any market.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has the perfect amount of fat. I would say it's like 30-70.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do with this one, we just barely clean the impurities, if it has any. And then season it with salt and pan sear it and then braise it with the sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
So my question is, what kind of impurities are you looking for with it? Because I wouldn't.
Just like silver skin, excess of fat, like she said, if she has any. And pretty much that's it.
All right. And Carolyn, the wine that you brought this time around, this is a Mexican wine then? Or what is great? Okay. Great for Cinco de Mayo?
Perfect for actually any time of year. I thought it would be really fun to feature a Mexican wine with Mexican food because even Mexicans don't think of wine. You know, it's not very widely accepted in Mexico, but there is definitely a burgeoning wine movement in the Guadalupe Mountains, which are just on the other side of the border from San Diego. I thought it'd be really fun to feature this wine. And this winery, Beachy, which Beachy is means native, or I'm sorry, it means naked, in the Sonoran dialect. And so that represents basically their winemaking philosophy. There's really nothing added to this wine. It's very clean farming practices. It's biodynamic and organic. They don't add any yeast, so it's all native yeast that is in the vineyard and in the winery. They don't hardly add any sulfur. There's no wood added or anything like that. So I thought it was kind of fun because you get to really taste a wine that, like, if you were gonna stomp some grapes. And I'm sure there's more involved from the winemaker. He'd probably hate that I said that. But this is like real nature in the bottle. And it's also very, very historical. And so these vines are over 100 years old, and it's from Mission grapes. The winemaking history in Mexico is also really interesting because back in the 1700s, the Spanish conquistadors came and brought wine with them and grapes with them and planted them. There wasn't much interest, it turned out, so a lot of those plantings were torn out. And then when the Jesuits came and set up missions along the coast, they would also start vineyards. And so that's where some of the vineyards started here in this area of the Guadalupe. And they planted mission grapes. So that happened in the late 1800s. So that's how old these vines are. And a lot of them are being found, and you know, people are just finding these vines, and they're finding some varietals that they don't even know what they are. This particular family decided to undertake this project and not plant new varieties, not plant noble varieties. So noble varieties are like wines from Bordeaux, Cab, Merlot, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc. They're taking these really old varietals and just bottling them, basically. And I love it. I thought it was going to be super funky and weird, but it's really beautiful. There is actually a little bit of wood on the aging process, but it's fermented in tinajas, which are clay vessels. And then after the fermentation, half of it goes into stainless steel and half of it goes into old used barrels that really don't have much oak influence. And that's only for 3 months. and then they bottle it. And again, they really don't add, if any, sulfur, just a tiny bit. There's no filtration in here. It's not fined or anything. When you look at it, like you can see, and I don't want the listener to think that it's super cloudy, but you can kind of see that this isn't like crystal clear as it is in some wines. And that's just all the natural yeasts and skin and everything that's in the wine. But again, I thought it was going to be super funky because sometimes natural wines can just have this really almost weird odor, or certainly tart. And it's definitely, I would say, a food wine. When you smell it, it's really, really pretty. This grape also, this Mission grape also is has very thick skins. So you would think that it'd be really dark and maybe a bit tannic. And it's also a low sugar grape. The result is actually, to me, more like almost like a Pinot Noir. And so really versatile, pretty fruit and some floral components, maybe a little bit of pepper and a really bright acid on the finish that goes great with this dish. So it cuts through any of the fat that's there, the salt that's there, the chili that's there. Normally, like I said, you would pair a margarita maybe, or some tequila or a cerveza with this. But I think this wine with this dish is outstanding.
And speaking of the dish, I would like to ask, though, Chef Vinny, because you created this dish. So you've been with the restaurant since day one. So are you the one who gets to make all the decisions, or is it a team that you come up with and think, I like this or I like that, or something's inspired me to come up with a certain creation?
Well, it is it's definitely a teamwork. You know, the owner, Rod Tafoya, is the owner of Mission Yogurt. He was the one that gave me the opportunity to become an executive chef in this restaurant. And most of the food are my ideas, but I don't execute them just the way that I think this should be. I always consult with David, with Rod, with other co-workers like Ivan, my sous chef. I always taste and make the dish a couple times before we actually put it in the menu. So before it goes on the menu, you gotta make sure it fits the concept and it fits what we do and what we serve as a drinking wise for like wines, beers, and spirits and stuff like that, especially the cocktails.
Now, David, you were just mentioned. So for you, what do you get to do, the taste testing, or do you, you know, shoot things down, or what? How? What is your process in this as well?
I don't shoot very much down from Chef. Much of the dishes he puts together are pretty phenomenal, in my opinion. It's been a joy working with these guys and collaborating with these guys over the last 8 months. Mexican cuisine isn't a cuisine that I was very familiar with working before in my past in restaurant management. So to kind of learn about some of the different ingredients and how these guys build flavors out of the kitchen, it blows my mind each day that we get to try something new, to be perfectly honest.
Great. And now your particular location, where are you all located at, David?
We're located down on South Pearl Street, 1518 South Pearl, on the historic Main Street of Pearl Street. We're open for dinner from 4 to 10 o'clock Sunday through Thursday, 4 to 11 Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And then we do brunch from 10 to 2 on Saturdays and Sundays as well.
Okay, and then back to you, Chef Vinny. Would this be like a popular thing if I want to come in maybe for Cinco de Mayo? Is this something that, you know, would be a favorite on the menu, or do you have something like a special menu that day? Or
well, we're going to run a happy hour all day,
okay.
Which we have pretty unique dishes you won't see anywhere else. Definitely we're going to have this dish on. We're going to have full menu plus happy hour for a special. And I don't think we actually do anything new items for that day, but we're definitely running some specials. I don't know, maybe we could do happy hour all day, we do a discount, or buy a margarita, get a free margarita, stuff like that.
So I do have another question, though, because I am not a hominy person, so this has been very interesting. Like, why hominy inside of this dish?
Well, like I said, I've been cooking for a while now. I cook a lot of European food, Mediterranean food mostly. So the idea comes from the risotto. So instead of using risotto, which is Italian, we are using hominy that is Mexican, and using all the European techniques to create like a creamy hominy instead of creamy.
And if you've just joined us, we are joined today in studio by Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits, and David, who is the general manager, and Chef Vinny from Que Bueno Suerte. We do have Cinco de Mayo coming up in a few weeks, and Carolyn has brought a lovely red to go with this nice short rib meal, but I want to, can you guys give me, or Stephanie, can you give me the exact name of this dish? I don't want to butcher it.
This is a ancho chili braised beef short ribs over a creamy hominy with a little bit of serranos and pico red onions on top.
Great. And Carolyn, the name of the wine again that you brought?
So the wine I brought today is from Mexico. It's called Bichi. And they make several different wines, and this is their Listan, which is the grape varietal, and this one is the Mission grape. It's very approachable. These are super fun wines. And they even have a luchador or luchadora.
Luchador. If it's a man, luchador.
Yeah, she's a luchadora for sure. And it's kind of funny. You see the back of her, which is naked and kind of apropos for the label and the name. And then the front of her, and that's a tribute to just sort of the family's whimsical sense of humor. We're going to be tasting this wine, and we're going to taste a few others that they have, different varietals, because this is a great opportunity. I mean, in Mexico, they're making a lot of wines that we know, the varieties that we recognize, like Merlot and Chardonnay, and we carry some of those wines, but these are things that you have, I'm sure 98% of the people haven't tasted this, so... It's a great opportunity. It's like history in a bottle, and it's actually good.
Well, great. This has been a delicious meal. Like, I'm not a big beef person, but I really actually enjoyed this. Still working my way through it. So, Carolyn, you're over on 6th and Marion. And once again, David, your address and where you're at?
1518 South Pearl Street.
Okay. And is there a telephone number to reach?
There is, 720-642-7322. Otherwise, we can be reached through our website at qbsuerte.com.
Okay, and a telephone number for you, Carolyn?
303-744-6219.
Great. Well, I've just really enjoyed this. Thank you all so much. If we could just get that nice little toast to...
One of these days, I'm going to bring crystal glasses.
Okay. One, two, three. Here we go.